This morning to thank you for another day that you have gifted us with to spend time with you and to do the things that you've given and entrusted us with, Lord. And I just pray that we would bring glory to your name, Lord. I pray that everything that's done would be done according to the way you would have us to do it, Lord. And I do pray for a special blessing on everyone that's listening to this teaching. It's a powerful teaching. It cuts to the core big time. And I ask, Father, that you would speak to us individually through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27, as we finish up the first chapter. And I titled the message, Be Doers of the Word and Not Hearers Only. As we talked about last time, it's better to not have something and be in God's will than to have it and be outside of God's will. Once we start doubting how good God is and what he has for us, we begin to start looking at what Satan has to offer. At that time, our natural desires kick in and take us to a place we'll regret for the rest of our lives. So as Christians, we need to keep in mind that we share God's nature. We have God's nature living in us. For that reason, it's a tragic mistake for us to accept what Satan or the world throws at us, or to desire something for ourselves that is sinful. That's why we shouldn't get upset at God's word. It is his word that reveals our sin to us. Hebrews 4, verse 12. God's word has brought us to a place of salvation. Now that we're saved, we need to be living our lives as Christians, as true, genuine believers. So there's a warning here. The warning is for those who don't really care about God's word, or just simply don't spend time in God's word. That's why you get in trouble. It's not a matter of if you'll get into trouble, but when you'll get into trouble. We're going to go ahead and pick up here in verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. To keep oneself unspotted from the world. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 to 3, and he was speaking of the believers that are, of course, in the church in Corinth. He said, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Holy Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone," which is a reference to the Old Testament, the law, "but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." You see, even though people in the world might not read the Bible, they're reading you. They're reading me as believers. They're watching us as we live out our lives in the Christian faith. They're watching us. James is telling us God's word demands us to be doers of the word. It demands us to be doer of the word. It's not something I can consider. It's not something I can just think about. God demands me to be a doer of his word. No doubt, out of all the books that have ever been written, there is an element about the Bible that separates it from all the others. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can get a lot of information from reading various books. But when it comes to God's Word, it's different. It demands action on what you're reading. It requires our attention. I thought of John chapter 7, verses 16 to 19, where Jesus answered and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me?" It's been that way forever. I mean, Jesus made the bold statement that the Word, God's Word, demands action. That's why Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who trusts in him." The gospel message is what? Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Action. We need a clear understanding that if you do not believe and obey, you know, it's just flat out simple truth. You are going to die in your sins. I know it's a hard pill to swallow. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 2, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Don't receive the grace of God in vain, but be doers of the word. That's what that is declaring. You know, what I find interesting is James uses a different Greek word for the word be, B-E. It literally means to become, to be born, to come into existence. God is not asking the non-believer to do anything except one thing. Believe in him. To believe in Jesus Christ. The people came to the Lord in John 6, verse 28 and 29. They said to Jesus, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." What God wants the unsaved to do is to believe on Jesus Christ. But what about you and I who are saved? Are you ready for this? God says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving yourselves. Here's the point. If we hear God's word, it will lead us to doing his word because we are his children. I can't tell you how many times people sitting before me in my office in counseling. They know God's word. They go to church. And yet, they're stuck on going out and getting drunk, getting loaded, or whatever it is they do. And I tell them, I go, "Don't you understand the biblical principle here? If you're sitting here hearing God's word, and you're doing things contrary to God's word, you're held with a greater accountability. You're responsible, and God is going to deal with you bigly, big time. He is really going to bring down the hammer." James isn't talking about an ongoing ritual. He's not talking about some habitual action. The intent? God's word is to produce action. It's to produce movement towards living an exciting life in Jesus Christ, his son. It's to experience God's plan, God's purposes for our lives in a powerful way, not just to be nonchalant with it, but to experience the power of God in our lives on a daily basis. Here's the key. If we're motivated by an inner desire and we're enjoying the life of being spirit-filled and spirit-led, whatever we do, we'll enjoy to the fullest, and it will be an incredible experience for all of us. That's what doing God's word entails. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:1. He said, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, which is an overseer, he desires a good work. Here's the problem I see today. And it falls right in line with Paul and Peter talking about in the last days that some would depart from the faith. After people get established in the faith, something happens. Instead of continuing to move forward in the faith and continuing to grow and mature in Christ, for whatever reason, they get their eyes off the goal, the prize, and unto the things of this world, and they get in trouble. They literally stop moving forward and begin to move backward. I mean, it is such a tragedy. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-wrenching. I've seen it for years. Brothers and sisters in Christ that I loved, God give them a space to repent, to get back right with Him. That space ran out because they thought they had more time. Boom, everything was taken. Everything was removed. And now you can't go back and change it. Oh, they may listen, but they're not doing anything for God anymore. They're no longer living for Him. They're not a doer of the word. Oh, they're hearing it. They're just going through the motions. James says at that point, they're only deceiving themselves. Those who say they don't have any sin in their lives, they don't deceive anyone but themselves. 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and God's word is not in us. Heavy. That's heavy stuff. James uses a mirror as a picture of God's word. When you look in a mirror, you see a reflection of yourself. You see yourself as you really are. I truly believe that's why a lot of Christians don't like to spend much time in front of the mirror. Sometimes we might not like what we see, right? It's the same reason people don't like to spend time in God's word. Because God's word tells you who and what you really are. Unfortunately, we're living in a day when looks seem to be so important. That's why we tend to stay away from mirrors. Because a mirror reveals our flaws and our imperfections. The danger James is referring to is looking into the mirror and seeing the flaws and the imperfections and then doing nothing about them. Doing nothing about them. God's word is a mirror. It reveals what is wrong with you and me. I mean, we simply can't read it and not respond to it. It demands a response. The problem is, if we don't respond, it's too late. We're responsible before God. And God is going to hold us heavily accountable. And you know, I don't want to see anybody go through anything like that. I mean, if there's something that we need to clean up, we've got to clean it up. Because the longer we go on, if God pulls the plug, we're done. We're done. The rest of our lives are going to be ruined by what we did not clean up with being a doer of God's word and not a hearer only. God's word will tell you if you're no longer growing. It'll tell you if you're leaving your first love. It will also tell you to get back. Get back into a right relationship with God. God's word is a mirror. It reveals where we're blowing it. It reveals how we can get back on course. And then stay close with the Lord. It reveals us as we are. Stinking, wretched, terrible sinners. That's our heart. It's desperately wicked, Jeremiah the prophet says. God's word penetrates below the surface. It goes down into our innermost beings. The perfect law of liberty. It's not talking about the law of Moses. James actually is referring to the law of grace. This is where James is different from the Apostle Paul. When Paul talks about the law, he's talking about the Mosaic law, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. When James talks about the law, he's speaking of the law of faith that's found in the New Testament of grace. It's found in Christ. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. But there are strings attached to this freedom. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Ouch. Keep my commandments. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, you know, I had to think, what does Paul mean by the law of Christ? There in Galatians 6:2. Well, the Apostle John put it this way, 1 John 5, verses 3 to 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm telling you, there is liberty in Jesus Christ. He's the only true freedom that we will ever experience, ever. So here's the bottom line. If you are in Jesus Christ, you're sitting down, you're ready for this, then you're going to obey him. Christians somehow think because they're God's children, the freedom they have means they can break commandments and do whatever they want. But guys, I love you guys. If you're thinking this, you are making a tragic eternal mistake. You see, the law is for those who are weak. It's for the natural man. I'm talking about the Mosaic law, the Old Testament. Laws are for those who break the law so they'll know what will happen when they do. And what punishment they're going to receive. But for you and me as Christians, God has called us to a higher level. That's why we can't dig around in the dirt and the mud. We're eagles. We're not turkeys. Turkeys walk around in their turkey doo-doo. They can't fly because they're full of doo-doo. We are eagles. We soar as eagles. God has called us to that higher level. He's called us to a higher standard. What are you talking about, Rick? Well, Matthew 5:48. Jesus said, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. It means as believers, we have no desire to break any of God's commandments. Therefore, we're living above the law. You following me? Hopefully, we're all motivated by the love of Christ. And our desire is to truly be obedient to him. It just breaks my heart. This is why I'm always exhorting and encouraging you to be reading God's word. Because the more you read it, the more you study it, not only the more you're going to learn, but the more you're going to love. And the more you are going to live by that word. If you're hit and miss and bouncing around reading God's word, you're going to slip and dip and dabble and everything else with things of this world. The word religion actually comes from a Latin word meaning to bind back. To bind back. It has to do with going through a ritual or a ceremony. There are many religions today. They all have their faithful followers. But you can't call a religion Christian just because it has certain rituals or ceremonies. First of all, let me tell you this. Christianity is not a religion. What are you talking about, Rick? It's not a religion. It's a person. That person is Jesus Christ. The fact is either you have him or you don't have him. James says if a religious man does not control what is coming out of his mouth, then his religion, regardless of what it is in vain. Many times the danger in being friends with the world is it can eventually lead you into a love for the world again. That's why we have to be careful not to conform to this world. Because the end result will be what? Condemnation with the world. We'll be condemned with the world. Look at Balaam. Here he prophesied about the glory of Israel. And what happened? He ended up dying the death of the wicked. Amazing. Now, I want to make it clear, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. If you are truly a born-again Christian, you will not lose your salvation. But you can lose everything that you've lived for and worked for. At the Bema Seat, you'll end up with no rewards for all eternity. And if you keep on with it, God will shorten your life and he'll just take you home. Then for you to somehow crawl over that line of no return. Lot is a great illustration of this. First, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Secondly, he moved into Sodom. And before long, Sodom moved in to him. You hear what I'm saying? What happened? He lost his testimony even among his own family members. How sad. How tragic. When judgment fell on Sodom, Lot lost everything. It's of the utmost importance that we don't get so involved with the world, we end up losing our ministry to the world. We read Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. The key is he didn't allow the world to affect him. You see, a line has to be drawn. It has to be drawn. The best way to minister to the needs of the world is to keep yourself from letting the world pull you down to its level. And that's what we do when we get into sin. We as a ego are pulling ourselves down to hang out with the turkeys. Jesus said in Matthew 5, and I'll close with this, verse 14 to 16. Please take these words to heart, Christian. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Next time, James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Showing partiality is sin and transgressing the law. Let's pray. Father, we do come before you and we do thank you for your word. Lord, it cuts to the core. I mean, it steps on our toes and it's something we need to know and learn. Because, Father, we do want your blessings. We wonder why we don't get ahead. We wonder why we're always struggling. We wonder why we're always down in the dumps. It's because we're not doing what your words are. We're just hearing it. We're not doing it. We have no one to blame but ourselves for getting into that predicament in that spot. The only way to climb out of it, Lord, we know this, is to be doers of what we're told in your word, what we're demanded and commanded in your word. Father, please go before us. Help us, Lord, to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ, and not to be drawn back to the things of Satan in the world. God, we love you, Father, and we praise your holy name. Go before us now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.